Developing tension through harmonic delay, advanced drum and bass in Ableton Live. In this lesson, we're building one of those transitions that feels like the room is starting to bend before the drop. Not by adding a bunch of new notes or extra MIDI, but by turning space itself into harmony. The idea is simple. Take a musical source, feed it into delays that behave like they belong to the key, then automate the system so it gets denser, wider, brighter, and more unstable right up until you slam it to silence so the drop hits like a wall. This is harmonic delay as a tension tool, key-aware repeats plus controlled automation, and we're doing it with stock Ableton devices. First, quick session setup so your arrangement thinking is locked. Set your tempo around 172 to 175 BPM. Then mark out a basic roadmap, a 16-bar breakdown, an 8-bar build, a 4-bar pre-drop, a 1-bar fill, and then the drop. Even if your tune isn't arranged yet, having those markers makes your automation decisions feel intentional. Now choose a source that reads harmonically. That matters. Great candidates are a minor chord stab loop, a vocal phrase that has a clear pitch center, a short Reese note or mid-bass growl, or even an Atmos pad if you're careful. For a concrete example, imagine a 1-bar chord stab loop in F minor. The dry stab should stay punchy and present. The delay is where the movement lives. Route that source to a group and send it to a return track. Create return B and name it harm delay. We are building a return because it makes automation and blending cleaner, and it keeps your dry signal stable. Also, you can resample the return later for fills and edits, which is a huge part of the DNB workflow. On return B, put your devices in this order: EQ8, then echo or delay, then another echo or delay, then chorus ensemble or phaser flanger, then saturator, then reverb or hybrid reverb, and finally a limiter. The limiter at the end is non-negotiable if you plan to automate feedback aggressively. It's your safety net. Before we get fancy, a quick coaching concept. Think intention lanes, not one big wash. Each part of the chain has a job. Delay times create rhythmic complexity. Pitch or interval processing creates harmonic implication. EQ and filters shape tone and perceived motion. Saturation adds energy and threat. Reverb adds space. Stereo tools add spread. When you automate, you're opening lanes one at a time. That reads way clearer than just turning everything up together. Now tuning the delays. There are two main approaches. Approach A is clean and musical, time-based echo in time mode. This doesn't literally pitch shift anything, but it creates polyrhythmic pressure that feels in key as long as your source is in key and your tone shaping supports it. Set echo 1 as your mid-focused rhythmic engine. Put it in time mode. Set the left time to 3/16 and the right time to 1/8. Feedback somewhere around 35-55%. High pass around 200 Hz and low pass around 6-8 kHz so it doesn't chew up subs or fizz up your top end. Add a little modulation, like 10-20%, just enough for motion. Then widen the stereo to around 120-150% so it starts to open up. Echo 2 is your density builder. Faster repeats, slightly different division so it starts to feel like the tail is accelerating. Set left to 1/16 and right to 1/16 dotted if you've got it. Feedback maybe 20-40% at first, because we'll automate it up later. Filter it tighter than the first echo, high pass more like 300-500 Hz, low pass 5-7 kHz. Think of echo 2 like sandblasting the tail into a tighter, more nervous texture. This approach is great when you want tension without obvious pitch tricks. Approach B is more overtly harmonic and a little more sinister, delay plus pitch shifting. If you want repeats that actually spell chord tones, do it with parallel chains. On return B, you can drop an audio effect rock and create three chains. One chain is unison, no pitch shift. Another is plus 3 semitones for the minor third. Another is plus 7 semitones for the perfect fifth. In each chain you place pitch first, then a delay, then a cue to band limit that chain. A suggested starting point, unison chain delay at 1/8, plus 3 chain at 3/16, plus 7 chain at 1/16. Then a cue each chain with a high pass somewhere between 250-600 Hz, and a low pass between about 4.5-8 kHz depending on how bright your source is. The important part is, every chain must stay out of the low end. Your sub, kick, and the main weight of DNB cannot be competing with smeared low-frequency delay energy. Now add movement and pressure after the delays. For width and smear, chorus ensemble is a quick win. Put it in ensemble mode. Amount around 15-35%. Rate slow, 0.2-0.6 Hz. width around 120 to 160%. If it has a high pass option, use it. If not, rely on EQ earlier in the chain. Then saturator. This is where the tail starts to feel like it's getting angry. Use soft sign or analog clip. Drive around 2 to 6 dB. Soft clip on. And do a quick level check. Trim the output so you're not just blasting the reverb harder by accident. Saturation is energy, but it's also density, so a little goes a long way. Reverb next. Hybrid reverb if you have it, otherwise standard reverb. A safe DNB starting point is hall or plate. Decay between 2.5 and 6.5 seconds, but the key is you'll automate decay or wetness to build. Pre-delay around 15 to 35 milliseconds, so your initial stab stays readable and the tail blooms behind it. Low cut around 250 to 400 Hz and high cut somewhere 6 to 10 kHz. You want size without mud and atmosphere without harshness. Then limiter at the end. Again, if you automate feedback spikes without a limiter, one unlucky resonance can jump out and ruin the moment, or worse, clip your master. Now, before you automate anything, do the gain staging ritual. This is the difference between pro automation and automation that's secretly just fixing a badly calibrated rack. Set your source at its normal mix level. Then set your return so that with the send at a moderate value, the return peaks around minus 12 to minus 9 dBFS before the limiter. Now you're starting from a stable baseline, and when you automate, you're actually creating tension, not constantly correcting volume. Here's another pro move. Build a feedback ceiling control so you can go bold without fear. Put a utility before the limiter. Map its gain to a macro called safe. If your feedback gets spicy in the last bar, you can dip safe by 2 to 4 dB in real time, or automate it without rewriting your whole build. All right, automation. This is the core of the entire lesson. You're going to automate four main lanes on return B, the send amount from your source, the feedback on one or both echoes, the reverb decay or wet, and an EQ sweep. That EQ can be a band pass that moves, or a low pass that slowly opens. Think of the build like a sequence, 16 bars, then 8, then 4, then 2, then 1. Each section should feel like it adds one more lane. In the early build, bars minus 16 to minus 9, keep it restrained. Send amount from about minus 18 dB up to minus 12 dB. Feedback from 25 up to 35%. Reverb decay from 2.5 to 3.5 seconds. And EQ, use a band pass centered around 1 to 2 kHz with a moderately narrow Q. This does something psychological. It makes the effect feel present but contained, like it's trapped in a box. In bars minus 8 to minus 5, intensify. Send from minus 12 to minus 8. Feedback from 35 to 50. Reverb decay from 3.5 to 5 seconds. Start widening stereo slowly, either with echo stereo control or chorus width. You want the listener to feel the space start to pull apart. In bars minus 4 to minus 2, this is pre-drop pressure. Send from minus 8 to minus 4. Feedback from 50 to 65. Add a little more saturator drive, maybe plus 2 dB, and open the EQ upward. Move your center from about 2 kHz toward 4 kHz. Or gradually open the low pass. The effect should start to feel more forward, more in your face. Last bar, though no moment. This is where you can briefly push the send close to minus 3, maybe even 0 dB for a moment depending on the source. Feedback can spike to 70 to 85%, but be careful. This is exactly where safe and the limiter save you. Reverb decay can go 6 to 8 seconds or increase wetness. And if you want that nervous, unstable feeling, do tiny delay time moves. Tiny. You're not trying to DJ pitch bend the whole mix. Think micro wobble, just enough to make the tail feel like it's straining. Now the most important part, the cut. At the exact drop, hard mute the return. Automate a utility mute, or slam the return volume to minus infinity. And here's an arrangement trick that hits ridiculously hard in DNB. Cut the return 1/16th to 1/8th before the downbeat. That microscopic vacuum makes the drop feel like it arrives faster and heavier. Next, make it groove with the drums. Your FX tail should not flatten your break. On return B, add a compressor, sidechain it from your kick and snare group, or even the full drum bus. Ratio about 4 to 1. Attack 3 to 10 milliseconds. Release 80 to 160 milliseconds. Aim for 2 to 6 dB of gain reduction. Now the return breathes behind the drums, and your groove stays crisp. Quick mono reality check. Temporarily add a utility at the end of the return and set width to 0%. If your tension completely disappears in mono, it means you relied too heavily on stereo widening and modulation. Bring back more rhythmic and harmonic content, more purposeful delay timing, clearer mid-range filtering, or a slightly more defined pitch chain. Now, advanced variations you can try once the basic rack works. 1. Mid/side split harmonic delay. Create two chains on the return. A MID chain that's mono with shorter delays and lower feedback, and a side chain that's super wide with longer or offset times, higher feedback, and more modulation. The result is pro-level. The center stays readable and punchy, while the sides do the chaos. 2. Negative space automation. Halfway through the build, instead of always increasing, do a quick dip for half a bar. Pull the send down, narrow the filter, shorten the reverb a bit, then reopen aggressively. That contrast makes the final bar feel bigger without actually being louder. 3. Consonance to dissonance morph. Add a very quiet pitch chain at plus 1 semitone, maybe even plus 6 if you want tritone threat. Keep it low and level, but automate it up near the drop. Our ears interpret that as rising danger, even if it's not dominating the mix. 4. Quantized chaos using beat repeat only on the wet. Place beat repeat after the delays. Set interval to 1 bar or half bar. Grid to 1/8 or 1/16, chance 10 to 25% and automated upward near the drop. Now you get glitch density on the tail while the dry drums remain stable. Finally, resampling. This is where your transition becomes track specific and signature. Create an auto track called Resample FX. Set its input to resampling, or directly to return B if your routing allows. Record the last 8 bars of the build. Then audition that audio and chop the best moments, reverse hits, quarter note stutters, a pitch down tail right before the drop. Drop it into simpler in slice mode and you can perform fills instantly. Or take the best tail into simpler classic mode, add glide, and play rising MIDI notes for the last 2 bars. Now you're literally playing your own harmonic delay like an instrument. Before we wrap, common pitfalls to avoid. If your low end disappears, it's almost always because the return has too much low energy. High pass the return, typically 250 to 500 Hz. If your feedback automation creates sudden runaway peaks, limit your last in chain, and keep feedback under 90%. If the delays fight the grid, anchor one delay to 1/8 or 1/16, then make the other the spicy offset like 3/16. And if your drop doesn't hit, it's usually because you forgot to cut the return. The hard mute is part of the sound. Mini practice exercise you can do in 20 minutes. This audio version is shortened for playback.